This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 29th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We're together for 3 hours. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Plenty to talk about, but if you were in Tampa Bay, what you'd probably be talking about is, well, they've run out of names. Hurricane Idalia? All right, yeah. For a while, they were all named after girls, but they were things like Donna and Betsy. Now, now they're named after any gender. You pick it out with names that I don't know where they find them. But apologies to anybody named Idalia, but it's new to me. So, name or not, it's interesting because a lot of speculation about how bad this storm will be because, frankly, we don't know. By tonight, it's intensified to a Category 2, which is not exactly the strongest storm in the world, but the question is, what about water? And so the storm's been running parallel to Florida's coast, and so you've got a number of people saying a number of things all day today, particularly in Tampa, and Eduardo was there to hear every bit of it. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio. So what are they saying at the moment?
It's picked up because it was drizzling. Now the rain is picking up and the wind's picking up too.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they said it's going to go turn into a Category 3, and it's going to go and hit Cedar Key. Mm-hmm. I never really heard of that place other than, you know, I know Tallahassee. I guess there's a lot of, one of the reporters saying a lot of kids go to Tallahassee in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, St. Pete is getting hit right now. But, yeah, they're worried about the storm surge. And a lot of people were boarding up. And I see the Tampa General. It looks like a fortress around it, the way they put all those steel like bars or frames, whatever, mm-hmm. around. It looks almost like a fortress around so they don't get water.
Yeah.
But some people are riding out the storm.
I would think almost all the people are riding out the storm. I'd be very surprised if they weren't.
Yeah, and South Tampa, you know, they're they should be evacuating because they get flooded pretty easily, I hear. So, and they were showing it on the news, too. So, but some of them are going to stay behind because they want to take care of their pets, is what they said.
Well, you say stay behind. I can't imagine anybody, certainly not in Tampa Bay, who would want to evacuate. Cedar Key, you probably looked it up on a map, so you know that now. It would be southwest of Gainesville. U.S. 27 goes to Cedar Key, and it's this little point in the Gulf that has absolutely no fame whatsoever. It's got a National Wildlife Refuge. That's about it. But it's not close to Tampa St. Pete. What you're talking about there, as it's been kind of barreling up the coast, is it wouldn't take much for it to pass over St. Petersburg and Clearwater on the way to Cedar Key rather than come in from the Gulf. So I guess that's somewhat of a concern. I haven't kept too much up with this storm in terms of its trajectory and where it's been so far. So with that in mind, has it hit land somewhere yet? And that said, if it has it been a wind or a water storm? Because usually it's one or the other.
No, not yet. They said it's going to make landfall tomorrow.
Probably that, tomorrow morning.
In the Cedar Key area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, as a Category 3.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go into the Carolinas. They're a little bit concerned about Savannah, I heard.
It's too early for that. I wouldn't even have that conversation. You know, now you're talking also about a storm going over land to Savannah, and by then it could weaken to a thunderstorm. So I'm not concerned about what it might do that way. But obviously, we're talking about it's just out in the Gulf there, and it's west of Tampa, probably right about now, maybe a little south, but supposedly, I guess, moving more northeast. So it looks like it'll spare Tampa for the most part. But I understand there's some people, of course, good old Florida Flicker and Flash, without power already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're talking about like a 5 to 9 storm surge.
Okay.
Like near Tampa.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Poor Fort Myers is getting picked on again because, you know, with the previous storm, they're still rebuilding.
Sure. But it's pretty far west of that in the Gulf. I mean, they're feeling it, no doubt, but it's not like they're anywhere near a direct hit, to say the least. Now,
well, that's good. Yeah.
The interesting thing as far as water goes is I think there's in there a full moon tomorrow.
Right.
And so
right.
The indication there is the waters rise. And so you
right.
add the rising waters to the storm, and that makes it questionable, to say the least. Obviously, some of St. Pete is probably pretty worried about. Pasco County would be more worried. It'll be interesting to see what's going on there. But in terms of people, you know, as you know, being from Chicago, the big snowstorm is forecast. And next thing you know, everybody goes out for French toast, or so it seems, as they go to the grocery store and buy eggs and bread and things of that nature. Are the stores flooded at the moment with people, and what are they buying?
Yeah, speaking of that, you've reminded me about that. So, what I guess I don't want to say hoarded, but they cleaned out was water.
Makes sense. Because
water was cleaned out.
I can see that.
Everywhere I went, from Target to this nearby Winn-Dixie supermarket.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie. Sure.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah, well, I can see why, especially long-time Floridians would do that, because it isn't unusual that you not only lose your electricity, but you lose water pressure as well. So it does happen. It's hard to say. So I was reading somewhere where they say they forecast it to be a Category 4 before it hits land. And we're talking about the Big Bend coast. And when you've looked at it on
right.
a map, so you know how the land kind of curves to the west there. And then Cedar Key is right at the tip of that. So that's interesting. So I see what they think is the trajectory of the storm, and why you were saying, like, going over Savannah or even Charleston or something like that. But, you know,
right.
once they get over land, all bets are off as to how strong they are. And, you know, will it be anywhere near a Cat 4 by morning? It's hard to say. But I would say at this point, if I was in Pinellas County, I'd probably be most worried about water.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, anywhere along the coast.
That's really about it. But
I'm telling people to move inland.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Like at least 10 miles. Yeah.
Right. I think you're fine where you are.
Yeah, I'm zone C.
Right.
So if you're A, you're supposed to be, you're in the red zone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
It's good to know this. I'm getting the hang of this.
Yeah, absolutely you are. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, and every year you'll hear about one of them, and most of them will miss you, but occasionally, and this one is basically missing you too. You know, you're not expecting a direct hit by any means. So,
no, it's pretty far out that, Tampa's going to be spared, but yeah, it's going to go north and it's going to hit that, Big Bend area you're talking about.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. And depending, it could even be a little north of that. You know, it's hard to say what the night will bring in the Gulf. So we've got the warm water Gulf, and if it were to be more of a straight line than a curve, you're going to see it hit the panhandle. So, you know, I'm sure there are people there watching every few minutes.
Panhandle gets picked on a lot, because even when I was up north, I always hear that all the time.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, you when you look at it on a map, you can see why. So it'll be interesting, but I know they're probably having a lot of advisories, and so it's just drizzling at the moment, or what's going on?
Yeah, it's about 20 miles per hour and a little heavier on the rain, yeah. Yeah,
right.
But so far so good.
Yeah, so it's just rain right now.
Yeah. Oh, good news, before I leave, the hotel, Marriott.
Yes.
They're going to call me on Thursday or Friday for an interview.
Oh, that's great. Well, they'd be very lucky to have you.
Hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah. Well, keep me posted.
So at least there was some movement on that, yeah.
Yeah.
Some virtual scheduler sent me a text, hey, how about coming in tomorrow in the afternoon? And then I had to, like, call them and talk to somebody in human resources, and I was able to get a name, and I exchanged emails because somebody was off.
Yeah.
And then they said, yeah, somebody is going to be calling you on Thursday and Friday. So that's where we ended it with that.
Yeah, I like it. Here comes the hurricane. Maybe a direct hit, maybe not. Want to come in for an interview? Yeah, boy, I tell you. Well, maybe they can.
And they're right there over there next to Tampa General.
Of
there
course.
In downtown. That's silly.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, maybe you can head their logistics department. God knows they need one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Keep me posted, Eduardo.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, everyone have a good day. Maybe I'll call later in the week.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
All right. So,
all right. Take care.
Yeah, I think Eduardo's going to be fine, but some people might be treading some water. It's hard to say. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if you're listening in Florida, let us know how you're doing. Otherwise, we'll move along. You know, I usually think about things like shoplifting as being a solitary event. You know, maybe it's two people together, but rarely is it a flash mob. Welcome to Glendale, California. Details in a moment on WGN Radio.
You ought to see my baby walking down the avenue. She knows I love to hear. Man, you ought to see her walk that walk. Hear my baby when she talks that talk. My baby just walks that walk, talks that talk for me. Woo! Here she come now. Walk that walk. Come on, baby. Talk that talk. My baby just walks, talks that talk. She sets my soul on fire wherever she talks that talk. She's so doggone fine when she tells me she's mine, mine. I want the world to see my baby. Maybe they will understand that she's my love. I'm her loving man. Man, watch her.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Jackie Wilson, of course, 1959 on Brunswick. And 5 years after that was a hit in 1964, right now, tonight, he was at the Catskills at the Laurel Hotel, and everyone was enjoying the show. All right, so big week for Jackie. We'll be playing some more of his stuff tomorrow, too. Yeah, some nice releases in 66 and 67. All right, so As I say, I usually think of shoplifting as being remarkably solitary. You know, you basically you go in and you do what you're going to do and you get out. And maybe occasionally it'll be two of you, especially teens are sometimes noted for that. But a flash mob? All right, so here's what I want to know. I'll tell you what the deal is in a minute, but how do 30 people get together to say, let's all simultaneously rob the YSL store? Yes, that's what it was, one of those Yves Saint Laurent stores in Los Angeles. It's a weird mall, too. It was originally the Glendale Galleria on Brand, which was a behemoth mall, and about 15, 20 years ago now, they built an outdoor mall kind of across the street and kind of connected the Glendale Americana, and that is where this YSL store is at the Glendale Americana. But again, 30 thieves in 1 minute made off with $400,000 in merchandise. Now, apparently, they weren't that coordinated and they weren't that good at it because they already have someone in custody. This is a few weeks later. Isaac Ramirez, 23 years old, and they have another subject, Brianna Jimenez, 21, who's still at large. And other than that, they have not released any names or any suspects. Don't know what they know, but this was August 8th. And 30 people in dark clothes and masks ran into and quickly ran out of, along with the $400,000 in merchandise, the store. So how do you get that together? Is it a Facebook post? I mean, you know, attention, fellow thieves. Yeah, right. Exactly. Shoplifters are us. See, that's the thing that I wondered about. Now, by the way, if you're saying, well, how did they get away so easy? Because they had 20 waiting cars. All right. Obviously, this was a choreographed event. And you know, the article that I read implies, doesn't outright say it, but implies that this has happened before. And of course, the Glendale police are aghast and are sure that they're taking it very seriously. I'd just be in shock. But I've been thinking about it ever since I read about it and say, okay, a brazen smash and grab. But how did they get the 30 people choreographed for this? If you've got any insight, I want to hear it. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You know, I can't think of anything that hurts a man more than when he's done his best, only to find that his best wasn't good enough. You see, I've loved and I've lost. And girl, wherever you may be, I just want you to know that this is how I feel.
What good are my eyes if I can no longer see your tender, tender smile? What good are my lips if I can't kiss you, girl? No, not even once in a while. My life is so blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue
since I've lost you.
No,
I don't need my arms, 'cause I know that they'll never hold you again. What good are my ears when they only hear bad gossip from our so-called friends? My life is so blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue
since I've lost you. Woman, my life is so blue,
so blue,
so blue,
so blue
since I've lost you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's the undisputed truth. And originally, that was out in 1964. Jimmy Ruffin on the Soul label. Norman Whitfield had written it. And then when the undisputed truth were starting to heat up, they thought, we need an album. Yeah, smiling faces sometimes doing well. We got to have an album. What are we going to put on it? Well, in typical Motown fashion, they got out a bunch of retreads, and some of them were excellent, like the remake of Since I've Lost You. I think they had the Temptations do that also along the way, but just terrific. And this was a big day for the Undisputed Truth as well, because they were on American Bandstand, singing Smiling Faces sometimes. So, yeah. All right, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And Donald in Midway said, flash mob? Oh, got one right around the corner here. All right, Donald, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, yes. I'm taking the place of Eduardo because he's back in. He went to Tampa Bay.
So that's right.
He could have been one of my neighbors, actually, where I am at. So.
All right. So you're our heir apparent. You're Donald from Midway. All right. We're going to remember this. So, Donald, tell me about the flash mob.
Yes. There was AMC Cinemas on Cermak, which isn't very far away from here, Cermak Plaza. And there was an AMC, and it was dominated by a flash mob of teens. We were jumping on top of cars, and there was a shooting. There was shooting, and there was also guns confiscated by the police, who eventually got involved. And this was on the day that's supposed to be open for people to go to the movies and not have to take out a mortgage.
That was Sunday.
It's $4 movie day on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So they just took over an AMC and made it. I was going to go down there. You know, and I'm glad I didn't because it was chaos and it was crazy. So
right, and I understand that. But here's what I really don't understand is the mechanisms of this. Because you're talking about 30, 40, 50 people who suddenly from out of nowhere materialize somewhere and take over in a moment's time. And I want to know is how's the choreography on this? Obviously, it's unannounced to the public. How do these people know to gather?
Well, you know what? You can get free cell phones, right? You can get free internet under Obama. Obama allowed that to happen, you know, so that they can all have cell phones and they can coordinate.
But maybe I've got a cell phone, maybe I've got a laptop, and I'm on Facebook and TikTok and Twitter and everybody, well, the former Twitter, X, and everybody else. But, you know, where's your one-stop shopping place for mob activity? In other words, it's not like they send out an EAS alert like a thunderstorm's coming. So how do they get the word out this quickly to this many people?
I think it actually coordinates on the Internet very much.
Okay.
I think a lot of people already have Facebook friends, quote friends, and they like, because I have seen other examples of this. I was downtown once after choir practice on the Gold Coast. And I was waiting for a bus because I took a bus that day. And I'm waiting State Street, you know, State Street, 10 o'clock at night on a weekday. It was Thursday night. And all of a sudden I see a bunch of teenagers coming out of the subway across the street. I see like about 20 at one time coming out of the subway. And then a whole mob catches up with them. They're actually circling the Target store that used to be Carson Perry Scott. So it's a major location, and they're actually circling around it. For what reason? I don't know, but they might have something to do with it. What are they doing out there on a school night? And this was like in May, right? On a school night, circling the wagons, you know, like, and unfortunately, nothing happened. People were, like, taking pictures of them. One went out in the middle of the street and started twerking, you know, what they do. There was a loud radio playing of some kind, several radios maybe, and they're playing rap music. And this was a large mob, and basically two blocks worth of solid people circling. And I personally saw a certain amount of it actually come up from the subway.
Yeah.
And guess what? The cops were actually circling with them. They were on bikes. I have never in my life seen so many cops on bikes en masse, you know, and they had headlights on the bikes, and they were circling with them. And I don't know what would happen if they weren't, because they obviously didn't want to try anything. Because, you know, if you've got 25, 30 cops on bikes, that are basically strolling with you, you know.
Chances,
contained.
Yeah, you won't get away with it.
It wasn't even reported on the news. It's never even made the news.
Yeah.
I mean, it was because it was a non-event. It was just them going up and nothing violent happened. So.
Well, and I think...
And there I am across the street.
You know? Right. Most of these flash mobs are non-events. They're, you know, at the drop of a hat, a bunch of kids or young adults getting together and doing this. It's a little different when you're sending out the text message to say, hey, we're going to rob the YSL store in 20 minutes. Be there or be square. You know what I mean? I'm just amazed that it's that easy to get a group of people together who are actually going to commit larceny. You know, but there they are.
Well, see, I think it's a lack of places to blow off steam. That's, you know, cool. You know, they want to go someplace like where they look like a dork or a nerd or something. They want to blow off steam, but they want to be cool doing it. You know, it's like in the olden days, people these ages could go to a disco.
Well, sure, I get that. But usually you don't get them robbing the Miracle Mile. You know, that's the part that where I say, wait a minute, this is a step beyond. I would have hoped that most people would say, no, I don't think I'll go in there and loot or shoplift, you know, as a group. But apparently that's the latest incarnation of this.
Well, there's also, like, back in the Black Lives Matters was new, there's a church, Fourth Presbyterian Church, and they have a special Thanksgiving service.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Black Lives Matters, they were preventing people from going in and making donations and everything like that, because I'm a part of that. You know, I was a part of the choir net, and they lost hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe even, I don't know, thousands. I'm not a bookkeeper with them, but they lost a lot of that simply because they wanted to prevent people from shopping or going to church or doing anything.
Yeah,
and they, how did they do it? And why did they do that to a church?
Yeah.
Why did they do that to a church that's actually trying to help them?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people can just get in, just fall in, you know? It's like a group mentality.
Absolutely.
Go along.
Right. The group mind is always less intelligent and more emotional. You're 100% right about that. Good to hear from you, Donald. Call me again.
Okay, I always do.
Okay, thanks.
You don't remember me from other times.
Yes, I do, actually. I absolutely do. But now you're officially Donald from Midway, replacing Eduardo from Tampa. All right.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
So, I know if you listen to the show, you're a radio fan. And if you're a radio fan, I assume you know all about Bob Crane. I feel we should knight him. Because years ago, Bob Crane was as disgusted with the state of radio reception and current radios, you know, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where he said, you know, this is just terrible. I got to do something about it. And darned if he didn't. The C. Crane Company puts out a lot of different radios with a lot of different features, but the one commonality to all of them is they just have superior reception, AM and FM. You betcha. And man, AM, that's really saying something, because most radios you buy today, assuming they have an AM tuner, spend about 3 cents on it, but not the C. Crane Company. And right now their Labor Day sale is going on. In fact, you can get 10% off your entire purchase of $75 or more, no matter what you buy. And that's a good deal because there's so much from which to choose. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You'll find something you just got to have. Maybe it's the CC Radio 3, the almost everything radio with the addition of Bluetooth. You've got an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available from any smartphone, but it's going to sound a lot better than the smartphone. It's a great speaker. In fact, if you listen primarily for voice content, that's worth the price alone. Audio quality is just like the host is sitting right next to you. It's got separate bass and treble controls to adjust to your perfect pitch to have you immerse yourself in audio clarity. And as I say, great reception. That's the hallmark for long-range AM and FM stations, along with emergency band capabilities, the NOAA weather band and the 2-meter ham band. And yes, you get a power cord, and you can put a set of batteries in there for over 170 hours. And yeah, it really does. It's got a digital readout. It's got digital tuning with 5 presets, but it also per band. It also has the ability to fine-tune, which is nice, in 1 kHz increments on AM or megahertz on FM. So go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Radio 3. Look at everything else, too, because there's something you want. And right now it'll be 10% off for the entire Labor Day weekend for your entire purchase of $70 or more. So ccradio.com. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, they've got great customer service, and they'll help you by phone. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Yeah, place your order right there, easy as can be. But better yet, get the real deal experience. Go to ccradio.com and do it now while that Labor Day sale is on. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Lord, 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 it's on a man all the time that chop-a-boom. Oh, well, my baby's always saying that chop, chop, boom. But Lord, I can't stand it, Lord, I lay her sore. Look how funny, Lord, I can't take it no more. Gonna get in my hat, Lord, and hit the door. I had a talk with my baby, Lord, I tried to find out just what the chopping song was all about. My baby wouldn't tell me, but this she said, you know it always reminds me of a busted head. Cha-cha-boom, wow. When we go out walking like a two-folk show, just about the time that I'm feeling good, she meets a
right. Then they get together, you will hear them say,
chop-chop-boom, chop-chop-boom.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Chop Chop Moon, 1955 on Mercury. And if you were listening to general market stations in 1955, you probably never heard of the Dandeliers. You didn't hear the real version either, unfortunately. However, you certainly heard the cover. Yes, 1955. Of course, it was the Crew Cuts.
Chop Chop Boom. Chop Chop Boom. Chop Chop Boom. Chop Chop Boom.
Well, now my baby's always singing that chop, chop, boom. Man, I can't stand it, gonna leave here soon. The confounded noise, I can't take it no more. Gonna get my hat and
hit the door. Chop, chop, boom.
Yes, Toronto's cover group, the Crew Cuts. Well, John Perkins of the Crew Cuts is still alive, and he turns 92. Yeah, yesterday, in fact, was his birthday. His brother Ray, the bass singer, turns 91 in November, and they're the last two surviving Crew Cuts, and I won't hold it against them, but it sure would have been more pleasing to have heard the Dandeliers across the board. But nonetheless, either way, you did get to hear Chop Chop Boom in 1955. In some cases, in the worst way, that would be the Crew Cuts. Most of the Crew Cuts stuff was covers, but occasionally, well, actually, I was going to say occasionally it wasn't, but that's not really true. Occasionally, though, they would have a hit that was a cover that flopped, and that was the case of Angels in the Sky, and that the guy who wrote it tried it, and then Tony Martin tried it, and the Crew Cuts didn't have a hit, so maybe we'll play that later, you know, or not. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. Had to think about that a moment. That's frightening. All right, so Ruth is in Gurnee. Welcome to WGN Radio, Ruth. No, not hearing Ruth. I'm probably doing this wrong. Let me try it again. Now we'll talk to Ruth. All right, Ruth.
Good evening, Mrs. James. Thanks for taking the call. I've been wondering about anything that you come up with, your incredible informative archives, stem cell patches. I had ordered some, and they were very, very expensive. And I hadn't gotten anything about what the results would be because I had not tried them. And supposedly, you put them in different locations, and then you continue on with ordering month after month so you can alleviate pain. And I'm just wondering, okay, how good is it? What is kinetic energy that okay replaces knee surgery? Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the stem cell patches?
Well, they're unapproved, and they're unapproved for a reason. They vary widely. And, of course, one day they hope it'll be effective treatment in some way. But at this point, you don't know what you're getting. Some people will say it's a cure-all, it's a miracle treatment, and other people will say it does nothing. And that's not the worst part. Some people will say, you know, this is problematic. It can be dangerous. So from miraculous to dangerous is how the stories run. And in terms of that, you know, you hear something like stem cell therapy, which has some wonderful therapeutic promise, and then you get a lot of people who may be unscrupulous who are going to offer you a product. I don't know what that product would be in terms of the specific one you're getting. There's a number of people who order that. So I would not fool around with anything like this without a doctor I trusted.
Okay, I have not heard anything as accurate as you have come with that. I wanted to mention also that, ironically, I know someone had mentioned when they were giving you examples of good money-saving techniques and things, they had mentioned the senior citizen housing mm-hmm. over on the south side of Chicago. And I have to make a compliment to the senior citizen housing in Waukegan. You cannot imagine, right on a Pace bus route, not far from the metro, and then Paces that go all over Lake mm-hmm. County, with mm-hmm. incredible safety pathways, you know, and things like that. Just so incredible, this building of the Waukegan Senior Housing. It's on the 568 bus route.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get over the structure. Now, having worked for House Beautiful Magazine, but also the division of the special publications like Houses and Plans and Home Remodeling and things like that, I got a really good idea of the building standards, credibility,
mm-hmm.
to tacky housing, you know, and mm-hmm. lots of problem things like that. And so this particular building is so sound, and the good quality within it, you know, it's yeah. everything, the molding, the cabinets, it's just phenomenal. I have to also say that somebody mentioned about standing and waiting on State Street. Well, years ago, I had a Chicago police officer whose sons became police officers, and he was always doing traffic on State in either Washington or Randolph. And I would often walk up to State Street to go to Marshall Field's mm-hmm. Bargain Basement or Carson's Bargain Basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had gone to his wedding when I was about, 1962, that year I walked up to a girl months later at St. Mary's High School, and I said, "Are you related to that particular person?" And she said yes, and she was Mary Annunzio, whose relative was a congressman, and then all the relatives were also elected officials. But I want to do a shout-out for my grandson, who hit a semi-truck. He's mm-hmm. one of the Ogden descendants, and he is in, you know, how could we say, injuries. And I'm wondering why he didn't get a bond for the traffic ticket issued for that.
I don't know.
And I'm wondering how it was that a bond amount of money wasn't given for his court date. And also, one other thing, this is interesting. I know a lot of people who have Ride for Freeze and their RTA, and I didn't take mine until, close to 70. And there was a specific reason why I took it, not necessarily just to get the, you know, extra perk of a free...
I got 30 seconds, Ruth. Ruth, you got 30 seconds.
I had a really difficult time redoing my Ride for Free pass for Chicago RTA. And other people I know who drive cars, they get theirs and they're renewed. And I'm just wondering about what the deal is, why they requested that I have my IRS tax form. Well, I don't have to file one because I don't...
Yeah, you don't qualify, right? Exactly, you're below the minimum. All right, well, maybe someone will tell us next hour. Thanks for calling, Ruth. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Another 2 hours of this, hopefully with you, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, Mel Carter, like the Crew Cuts, made a career covering other people's songs, but Mel did it so much better, don't you think? That, Love Is All We Need, covering Tommy Edwards. But it was on this date in 1965 that he was breaking into the top 10 of the Hot 100, covering Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me. Yeah, Mel Carter, 888-876-5593. Leah in Marcus Hook, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to ask you about a song that you played last night, Sitting in the Park.
Oh, yeah, the GQ version.
Yes. Uh-huh. I really remember that song. You said it came out in 1980, though, right?
Yes, it did. But the original, of course, was well before that, because the original was, of course, Billy Stewart.
Oh, okay. What year would that have come out?
Mid-60s, probably 65.
Billy Stewart.
Yeah, and I'll play you his version of it. That was just on Chess, a classic record. But I really was impressed with what GQ did with it. But this is the original.
If you ever gonna show, I don't know if you're gonna show, my darling, I got to go. But nevertheless, I said, you gotta be waiting.
So that was the original in 65, and then GQ 15 years later.
Oh, okay. Now I don't know which one I'm remembering. I think.
Well, it's,
I thought I.
Great song.
I remembered it before 1980.
Well, that would be Billy Stewart.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Do you happen to know what album it's on?
Well, it's on a 45. I'm on a 45. Would Billy Stewart be on an album? Let's find out. I'd have to look that up because, you know.
Or the GQ version?
Well, GQ's definitely on. But here, let's see. Albums. There's an I Do Love You album on Chess. I'll bet you it's on that. Yeah, it's 1965, Billy Stewart, I Do Love You, Chess.
I Do Love You.
Yeah.
What about GQ?
Oh, I'm sure that was on a 1980 album, but I'll look. Again, I got it on the Arista 45. But
I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find anything.
Oh, no, it's and all this stuff is on CD also. But let's see what we can give you for that. It's probably on GQ, too. Let me look. It's on GQ, too. Okay, so GQ, TWO.
Is that the name of the album, GQ, too?
Yep. TWO, yes, 1980.
TWO, 1980. Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Where are they from, GQ?
Where the hell were they from? They were Bronx, pretty sure. They used to be Sabu and the Survivors.
Really?
I'm not making that up. Then they became the Rhythm Makers and ultimately became GQ. So, Rahlem LeBlanc and Keith Cryer. I'm not trying to think of who else is in that group. Herb Lane. Yeah, and a couple others. So, and then Steve Adorno joined in 1980, but I don't know if he joined before or after Sitting in the Park was recorded. But Paul Service was an original member. He's the one who Steve Adorno replaced.
Was the 1981, the GQ one, would that have been played a lot in San Francisco?
Not particularly.
No?
These weren't big hits.
No, they weren't big hits?
Nah. But I'll get national chart action, but, you know, K-Soul probably would have played it, I don't know, a little. You know, KDIA, yeah, maybe. But if you're saying, did KFRC play it in 1980... Well, if it was 1981, I'd say, yeah, Jerry Cagle would play anything. But I don't know. Let me see. Let me see. GQ. And I've got to look this up alphabetically, and we'll get chart numbers for you. Okay, Sittin' in the Park did not chart pop at all. It was number 9 on the R&B charts.
Oh, okay.
So, I Do Love You was number 5 on the R&B charts and 20 on the pop charts. But they had a number one record on the R&B charts that I didn't particularly like, Disco Nights in 79. That got to number 12 on the pop charts. That was their big hit, but I didn't really care for that.
Yeah, disco. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I just loved the song. When I heard it, I'm like, I remember that song, but I don't know when I remember it from, you know?
Well, probably Billy Stewart, the original. It was a great song. And then the GQ remake was really nice, too. I thought that Rollum, he was the lead singer, Rollum LeBlanc, I thought he did a really nice job with it.
Yeah, I like both versions.
Yep.
Very nice. I really enjoyed the show last night,
too. Oh, good. Good. Yeah, well, every one of those songs I played, the groups or the artists had a number one record on the R&B charts.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thanks for the information.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your help.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Yeah. I know what it's like. You hear a song that you really like, and then you never hear it again. Now, what I really hate is, like, driving along over the years, you know, I'll hear something, and I remember there was one thing that Art LeBeau played in 1987, and I didn't write down the lyrics. You know, it was always like, I'll remember this later. And now, of course, I don't remember the lyrics. I just remembered what a great, great song it was and never heard it again, not once. So that that happens. Yeah, I've learned. I've learned the hard way. Now if I hear something I don't know that I like, at least write down some lyrics. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Bob is a first-time caller in Oak Park. So, Bob, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Rowdy. Been looking forward to talking with you. I enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Enjoy the music. A little bit. I have a couple requests, but it may be a little bit too young for you because it came out in the mid to late 60s.
Well,
anyway,
what are they? No, tell me what they are.
Well, the first is the Temptations. The Girl's All Right with Me.
Okay. Yep. I'll do that.
Or anything by the Miracles.
Oh, anything?
I tell you what. Who did the original? The original Marvin Gaye's Everybody Needs Love.
All right.
Okay, whatever you can come up with.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, Ruth, she's having some issues, and all she has to do, and she's complaining that, okay, you didn't get your RTA free ride pass until you were 70. Okay, well, shame on you. If you worked all your life, you deserve that. You can call the Department of Aging, and you just keep calling. They will find out someone that can help you. You don't need all of what they're asking for. They tell them you don't have it. Everyone has to have some type of income and be able to prove it. If you can't, they will help you with this. Okay. Second of all, Donald from Midway. I have never heard any more serious racial references on your show since I've been listening to you.
Well, I must have missed this. What made it racial?
Okay,
was he
Well, listen to it again.
Yeah.
I'm
tell me. Was he talking to...
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, because you asked about, you know, the flash mobs and everything.
Right.
Which, if you read the news, it happens in cities all over the place.
Right.
You know, teenagers are doing that.
Right.
But what does Barack, the first thing he said was that President Barack Obama, he gave poor people access to the Internet.
No, he didn't.
The second thing.
I mean, Obama didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, the second thing he said that, they were listening to rap music.
Oh.
And the third thing he mentioned about Black Lives Matter, none of that has to do with what what you were talking about, and you did not check him.
Hang on, Bob. Let me be honest. The reason I didn't catch it is it is so foreign from my mind to even be possible that now that you point that out, it's like, oh, holy. It just never occurred to me because I don't think that way. And so as far as the cell phones, that was just part of a program that had been on long, long, long before Barack Obama was elected to any office. They just transferred them to cell phones at some point. But I didn't pick up that he was talking talking about people of color, because I just don't think that way. I mean, when I heard about this flash mob, it didn't occur to me to look underneath their whatever they were wearing to see what color they were, you know. So my apologies, because it never would have occurred to me.
Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you something. You have the best guest of anyone, anywhere. You know why? Because your guests are your listeners.
Yeah.
And you have some great listeners. Okay, so well, that's all I want to
all
say,
right, so, Bob, I'll be
calling you back.
I want you to promise me you'll call back because we need you. And if you hear anything I totally miss, you tell me because, like I say,
okay,
my mind just doesn't work that way. So
I understand. I totally understand. I will not stop listening to you. I love your music. And one of these days off the air, I need a suggestion or a reference from you. So thank you. And you keep doing what you're doing, okay?
All right.
You still have a great show.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Anyway, yeah, when he mentioned the Barack Obama thing, I didn't think of it in terms of color. I just thought, wait a minute, that program goes back to the, you know, the Lifeline program that used to be landlines, and then they converted them to cell phones. But no, I apologize to anybody who heard that in a way that I just flat out missed that. Because when I was looking at this this mob that took over the Glendale Americana, it did not occur to me what color they might have been. And to this day, I don't know. You know, with the two arrests, I know that there was a Hispanic component only because of the names, you know, Ramirez and Jimenez. But, you know, the other guys and gals, I don't know what they were. And it doesn't matter. They're obviously miscreants doing a bad thing. Doesn't matter about their genetics or skin tone. But no, I don't tolerate that. But sometimes I don't catch it, like I say, because it's just not the way I'm wired. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was Bob's request. A great one. You know, that was a B-side when it came out in 1964 for The Temptations on Gordy. Eddie Kendricks and Eddie Holland and Norman Whitfield wrote it. Norman Whitfield produced it, too. And yeah, what was the A-side? It's a quiz now. Okay, I'll Be in Trouble. Right. And it bubbled under the Billboard Hot 100 charts, even though it was a B-side. It got to like number 102. But that's another one that the Undisputed Truth re-recorded, and that was on their Down to Earth album. So, yes, a fine song. 888-876-5593 is 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And we've got Donald in Midway is back. So, all right, Donald.
Yeah, I get tired of being called a racist simply because I tell a few facts. You know?
Well, no, wait. You see, here's why it is. Facts, yes, but what part of the facts do you want to bring forward? In other words, was there race any part of the story? Not to
me. Actually, that was the Black Mob. It might have been,
but was their behavior because of their skin tone? I think you need to look at that. Because, you know, when you say I'm telling facts, I don't doubt that it was. But the fact that that was your top of mind awareness of what you saw, that would have been the bottom of my list.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I've lived on the South Side a long time, and I can remember people throwing rocks at me because I was white during the Martin Luther King time and all that kind of.
Well, that may in fact be. I don't deny that people of all persuasions have found that type of behavior from people from all persuasions. So no doubt about it. But no, my mind doesn't compute like that. When you mentioned Cermak, for instance, I didn't think, oh, that's an African American neighborhood. What I thought, oh, that's near Record Row. You know, so
actually that's a Hispanic neighborhood. Yeah, so it could have been a mix.
Well, regardless,
I didn't personally see that.
Regardless, I just think that the fact that that was how you chose to view it caused someone to bristle, and I can kind of understand that.
Oh, people are just too damn touchy these days.
Well,
I think.
Everything.
The fact is, we've got to call things the way they really are, rather than try to cover.
Well,
it
see
all.
that's what you're saying, and I don't think that's the way they really are. I don't think the problem is because they're of one race or one ethnicity or another. I think that should be the bottom of the list. And actually, if there was going to be any defining moment, it's more socioeconomic than it ever would be color.
Yes, that's the point. That is absolutely socioeconomic.
Well, and so that has nothing to do with how much melanin is in the skin.
No, but Chicago is a racially divided town.
Well,
many of the poor people in town are black and Hispanic, and I lived in Hispanic neighborhoods, and I lived in neighborhoods that had a certain amount of black people. I live in a building with black people and Hispanic people, and I've seen it for myself.
I understand. I'm just saying that if you continue to view that top of mind like that, then you're contributing to that division. I'm just suggesting maybe you put that at the bottom of the list when you're thinking about what's going on. It's just something to think about.
Well, I used to do CTA. Okay, I worked for CTA, and I went to every different stop in the entire system, and I used to interview people of all kinds. And I was called for racism over and over again because I didn't start out with a black man or I didn't start out with, I just randomly picked people. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't randomly pick, there was somebody who would always pick on me on a racial basis, even though that was not the case.
Well, I can't speak to it.
Wanting to start fights, and I'm really sick of them.
All right. Well, I appreciate the calling back on it. But as I say, I can kind of understand where somebody hearing that would say, ooh, wait a minute. And yeah, it shouldn't have been top of mind. But I understand. And thanks for calling, Donald. All right. So we'll pick it up there. Yeah, I can't solve the world. But I don't think in terms of backgrounds. But socioeconomic, that's a different problem. And that spans every possible background. Yeah, and it is problematic. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You say you want to be loved, but you won't let me love you.
No, no, no.
You say you want someone to trust in you. Can't you see that's what I'm trying to do? I know you've been hurt before, and you're afraid to try. Love once more without love by your side. You're only half alive, 'cause everybody needs love. Oh yeah, yeah, everybody needs love. You say you wanna be kissed. You say you wanna be missed, huh? Mm-hmm. Can't you see how my arms are missing you? He's got you hurting so inside. So now from a love you try to hide. But no matter how you try, without love you can't
survive. 'Cause everybody needs love, oh yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I think that's my favorite version of Jimmy Ruffin. Yeah, I'm kind of sweet on Jimmy, of course. But that's an interesting song, actually. It was the first done by the Temptations, but not as a single. It was from the Temptin' Temptations, 1965. Yeah, recorded right at Studio A in Hitsville. And, of course, Norman Whitfield and Eddie Holland were the songwriters on that. And then the next one was the hit, and that was Gladys Knight and the Pips. That was 1967. And, yeah, I could have played that, but I don't know, Jimmy Ruffin for me. 1968 on the Soul label, of course. And there were other versions as well, because, you know, that was something that always happened in Motown. Got a song you like. Even Mary Wells did it. And actually, Mary Wells was the first artist to record Everybody Needs Love, but probably the last one that they released, because they didn't release it until she had left the company. And so on the Mary Wells, you got Eddie Kendricks in the background, and you also have the Velvettes and the Miracles did it. And so all of them were produced by Norman Whitfield. So a fine, fine record. But yeah, the Velvettes, the Andantes. And that was true for Jimmy Ruffin as well. That was the Andantes, Jackie Hicks and Marlene Barrow and Lou Vane Demps. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And, all right, what do we have with Linda in Richfield Park? Hello, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Yes, I'm just fine. I listen to your show every night, but, you know, tonight I thought, let me call in, because the guy that called about those kids running around in circles and that they were twerking and the head fell for them, he was kind of out of line, you know. He didn't really mean it. I guess he just was dismal to the fact, you know.
Well,
kids have always had energy to waste, you know. And
sure,
when they twerk, they've been twerking for years. Think about it when, what is his name, Jimmy Lee Lewis, and he made the song, Come On Over, Baby. Whole lot of shaking going on.
Yeah,
and the girl was just, she was twerking. So
okay.
And then before that, people was gyrating. Same thing. James Brown, he sings the song Shake Your Money Maker.
Yeah.
So this, when young kids, they shake their money maker. When I was young, I was shaking my money maker too. But it's nothing to degrade anybody. All races of people were doing it.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right.
You know, so
and
it's nothing to make a big thing out of it. And then as far as those cell phones, I'm sure they pay for their own cell phones, because if you're a teenager, you cannot get a free cell phone.
Right.
The only way you get a free cell phone from the government, you have to be on food stamps. And that's
right.
the adult person, head of the household that's on food stamps, get a free cell phone, not their children. So he got that twisted. So, you know, I was just thinking about it. He just really needs to unwind,
wow,
relax, and don't get too deep in things, you know. And saying, well, I talk to black people, white people. Just be yourself and love people.
Thank you.
Look for the best in people. Love people.
Yep.
And, you know, I just, you know, I hate to hear some people come out with that, because you can hear the undertone.
Right.
And I could hear when he was talking, so I said, man, he's really, you know, he seems like he's one of those calls for, it used to be a guy called Rush Limbaugh on the radio, he would be batching people like crazy. But, you know, I said, this show that you have is a loving show, kind show, and everybody is grooving to the groove, you know, and they're not thinking about what color you are, who the president is, or who's twerking, or who's, you know, Black Lives Matter. We're just trying to listen to some good old Dusty, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's why I decided to call.
No, I'm glad you did, and I'm also glad that Bob did, because, Linda, I feel like an idiot. The whole thing went completely by me, because I just don't, I didn't even think he was talking necessarily about people of color, because I just don't think about it. I thought about it was young kids, you know. They didn't,
yeah.
But now that you bring this out, I absolutely can see it, and that's why I hope Bob is listening, because hopefully he didn't intend it, but when he says, gee, I'm just saying the facts are kind of a dangerous thing when you're picking and choosing which ones you want.
Right, and you got to make sure that they're really facts, because you got to think. Just here last week in Chicago, they had all the people who wanted to jump in the river butt naked, and there was no, that wasn't called a mob. They were grown people, you know, so.
They were buck naked in the river? I'd call them idiots. No.
Well, they were doing it for some cause, you know, I don't know what it was, but they do it every year, but it's not called a mob, you know, and these are grown people. So I'm saying it all depends on how you look at things. I love all people. I can find some beauty in anybody, everybody, you know. So that's how I am. I love your show, and I was thinking of a song I like to. I never heard you play it. I must have went to sleep on it, but it's one of my old favorite tunes back in the Vietnam days. Stuck in the Middle with You.
Oh, sure, Steeler's Wheel. Okay.
Yeah, I like that song, and that brings me back.
Okay.
I
will play
when
that.
When I was in college, I had all kind of friends, all different colors, and I had all different color boyfriends, you know. So
sure. Well,
and I don't regret anything that I did. I love people. And I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to let you talk to someone else, and I'll probably be calling in
other
time.
And you know what's interesting, Linda, is this got so off topic because I still, with these mobs, want to know how you gather 30 people who all want to rob the same store at the same time. You know, that's what was going on in Glendale, and I don't think it was a matter of you know, whether they were black, white, Hispanic, whatever. It's like, who the hell gathers 30 people to go rob a store? You know, I still don't understand. Yeah.
They probably might have contacted each other on their cell phone, but you better believe they paid for their cell phone.
Well,
these young kids don't get the little cheap cell phone that they get from the government.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
they got
iPhones.
Their cell phone, they have everything on it.
Right, iPhone 9000 or something. No, I know exactly.
Exactly.
But you know,
exactly.
I got to tell you, Linda, I don't think I know 30 people, let alone how to gather them together. So, you know.
Not me either, yeah. You know. So. They got to have something to do. Maybe if they, you know, we had to put more into our youth, you know.
Yeah.
Let them join the ROTC before they get out of high school. And there's different programs and all that. You know, it's good, they can stay in it, you know, and go forward with it. So
works for me.
We have a lot of good things going on in Chicago, especially Father Flake. He just had a bunch of kids, a busload. They went to sing. So I live 30 miles, if that, from Chicago. And a lot of good things be going on in Chicago. We just had a big parade, and it was nice, you know. A lot of good things go on. Father Flager, he's always doing good things for the community. Jesse Jackson doing good things for the community. So many people. And we're not just saying, you know, we have all races of people.
Exactly. So. All right, Linda, thanks for calling, and I'll get your Stuck in the Middle with You on.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
So, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Whoa. Bill in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing tonight?
I don't know anymore.
You really got a subject going.
Well,
here.
You know, it just and the thing is, I was absolutely blind to this. I had no idea.
I know, but I was really calling for the guy, the previous person before Linda. I think the guy that was near Midway. Was it Don? Was his name? Whatever name was.
Yeah.
He was talking to you about it. Well, anyways, he was a first time caller too.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, I don't understand where some of these people are coming from because, well, technically, I've lived in when I moved in the neighborhood I'm in, it was a changing neighborhood, and of course, and to tell you a long story short, I was in an interracial marriage. My wife and I, we went together through high school in Indianapolis in the 50s, never had a problem. We went to sock hops and everything, and we're supposed to be in all white schools. We go, and I dance with her one dance, and she goes to start dancing the jitterbug with some other guys, and I never see her again until we got ready to go home that evening. But anyway, and we was married, and we traveled all over through the South, everywhere. I've been everywhere, through Montgomery, Alabama, Mississippi. I've never had a problem. We can go in any restaurant, any hotel, and never have a problem staying anywhere. And during the Martin Luther King type, that period, when he was assassinated, had all this trouble in Chicago.
Well,
it was, I walked 3 blocks every day to get the train to go downtown to go to work, and I never had any problem. The only problem I had was when they really got rioting on the west side, when they really burnt down the west side over there, a lot of it back then. The only trouble I had was the National Guard. I had to stop and prove it. I lived where I lived.
Well, and that would have...
A guy pulled up, and, you know, 2 guys pulled up with a Jeep and a machine gun to stop me and ask where I was going. And that was the only thing. And it was still a predominantly mixed neighborhood. There's white and black, and there's Spanish, and I got, you know, all kinds of people live. And I've never had a problem in my life. I don't get what this...
Well, you know...
And some of these kids, you know, of course, a lot of it is kids are just misled. I meant, and a lot of it, they don't have a real family life. There's no one to supervise, because I got a young guy that cuts my grass, and he was telling me that different things, and he's black, but that didn't bother me. But he's just a kid who lives in the neighborhood, and he's out of school, wants a job, needs some work. And I was talking to him today, and of course he wears dreadlocks.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, a lot of employers, they won't hire you with those. They got codes where they can't do that, but some of them just won't. They'll just look at your application and say what he looks like and drop in the trash can. You know, I said, so that's another thing you got to look at.
There's a real involved conversation. No, I understand. There's so many facets to that that it's so beyond what we do on this show. But
I know. It's way beyond that.
It really is.
Yeah, and I see you paid for your whole show right after that 11:30 news. All those commercials.
Oh, see, I don't hear them. See,
oh, you don't?
No, I don't hear them.
Oh, they must. I think they played about 6 commercials before you came back.
Well, good. I don't know what to say other than it gave me.
I know, gave me a bathroom break.
I thought it was the news. What do I know?
Well, so, they did the news, and then they come back. Oh, these commercials, you know, and I said, wow, they're paying for a whole show.
hopefully the checks won't bounce, and they'll be all the richer for it. All right.
Well, you take it easy, and you've got a great show going anyway. But
good to talk to you. Thanks.
I just had to chime in on this one.
Yeah.
It just didn't.
No, I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Yeah. I lived in downtown L.A. for a long time. It's now gentrified. I couldn't afford to live in downtown L.A. if my life depended on it. But back when I lived there, I could. And it was probably 80% Hispanic and probably 18% Asian, and me, and that was it. And I would walk, there was a place, the Original Pantry, which was just a great 24-hour restaurant. It's still there. It's there since, like, I don't know, the 30s or the 20s. Or they had, oh, man, the best short rib, but I digress. Anyhow, I would walk there sometimes 2, 3 in the morning because of my hours. You know, that's dinner. And I had friends who, you're going to get killed. I said, I've never had a problem. And what I found amazing was occasionally when friends would come to visit and they'd park on the street, I can't believe how I got harassed coming to your house. And that's when I started to think, you know, there must be some kind of aura that people carry that, you know, I don't see, but somebody else does because they're getting harassed and I'm walking on the same streets. And I don't think it was just luck because I was doing this too many times. And it never occurred to me that I would be in harm's way. And I never was. Like when I worked at Billboard in New York, they were in Times Square, and I would drive in because I would stay at a hotel in New Jersey, and, you know, I always wanted to be driving everywhere, which I know is crazy in Manhattan, but that's me. Anyway, I would, you know, being always wanting to be thrifty, shall we say, I'd park over on 11th Avenue, and I'd walk to Times Square, and then, you know, at night, after the theater district was empty, place would just be empty. Well, I'd have no problem. I'd walk back. I'd get in my car. Well, after about a year of this, someone at Billboard found out I was doing this. You're going to be killed! So, I've never even been harmed. Well, you're just lucky. I said, I don't know. I think there's probably something more to it. So, these days, no, I won't drive in Manhattan, but that has nothing to do with walking anywhere. It's just I've kind of given up on driving where there's a lot of other cars I could possibly be hitting. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Yo, give me two bars line, baby, it's our beat. Hit it to the left, back to the right. Come on back to the left, skip it now. Get ready to boogaloo now. Watch me, boogaloo, y'all. Yeah, yeah, do it to the left now. Come on back to the right. Back to the left, hit it. Yeah, but you're looking good. Look out now, freeze. Hit it, yeah. Come on. Work that thing to the right part. Back to the left. Come on now. Watch Rodney. I say, watch me now. Yeah, this boogaloo thing is a groove.
And if you know who that is, you have a hole in your soul. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. That was on the Tough label, Abner Spector's label, and that was the first single he released, but one of many. And, of course, you knew him as a good guy on WVON, unless you were in Baton Rouge for over a dozen years. Yeah, the OK group, WXOK. All right, so why am I playing E. Rodney Jones? Because I looked up on the screen and said, Pamela, E. Rodney Jones. I said, I don't know who she is, but I'll talk to her. So, Pamela, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. You and I spoke, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. It's like hell broke loose in my life for a while. Our 100-year-old barn collapsed in a snowstorm the end of March. I mean, it's been one thing after another. But the reason why I call you is that racism really makes me angry. As I told you in the past, I worked for WVON and WSDM. I was on the air there, and I was news and public affairs director at the time. Well, before I bought my car, I was 21 years old, young, tall and blonde, and I had to take a bus from 33rd and State, or 33rd and Kedzie, rather, where the building was for WVON and WSDM. And I had to take the bus south and then to east to on 63rd Street and get another bus to go down State Street to get down to my house. Well, there was about three or four teenage guys that would stand on the corner of 63rd and State and not harass exactly, but poke fun at me or, you know, just being miserable. But I was never afraid of them because they were never trying to do anything. But somebody back at the station heard my story about standing there and waiting and these guys picking on me. And E. Rodney Jones came up to me and said, how about if you ride with me? He said, I'll take you all the way to 63rd and State. He had a nightclub.
Yeah.
At 63rd and State.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he says, why don't you just sit in the car and wait when you see your bus coming, then you can get out and get on your bus and nobody's going to bother you.
Yeah.
I said, that would be great. But the funny part about this story is he had a white Cadillac.
Yeah.
And I sat in the passenger seat. Of course, he drove down the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
And white people would drive up next to the car and do a double take and look at us and frown, just disgusting.
What?
Because they thought we were a couple. Oh. Here this man is trying to help me and trying to take care of me so I don't get hurt or something. How can you hate somebody for the color of their skin? Honest to God.
I know. Yeah, he owned the club. I remember that. And I remember that white Cadillac. That's great. And I hate the guys frowning at you, but that's a real nice story about Rodney. Glad to hear it.
Right. You know, they were young kids. They were teenagers.
So that happens.
But I wasn't afraid of them, but just didn't want to be harassed standing there by myself.
Absolutely not. That's a great story. Pamela, I want you to call me again soon.
I will. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks.
Great show, Robbie.
Appreciate it. All right. We got another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
Chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started out with nothing,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There it is, Steeler's Wheel. Jerry Rafferty wrote it. Stuck in the Middle with You, A&M 1973. And I'll tell you what, if Sheryl Crow didn't steal that, I don't know what. All I Want to Do, you know, that Santa Monica Boulevard song. Man, every time I hear that, I say, Steeler's Wheel. So I don't think Jerry Rafferty got any writing credit on the Sheryl Crow song, but it did sound like to me. All right, so 888-876-5593. Johnny is in Austin. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, I played a lot of that Steeler's Wheel song back at KRBE.
Oh, you sure did.
That was when it was a hit, and probably you know, we played about, what, 30 hit songs over and over and over?
Over and over and over. But, yeah, doesn't it sound like the Sheryl Crow record, though?
It does. Yeah. I'd never thought about that before.
Yeah.
But it does. And speaking of that song, that was requested by a lady named Linda. Was that the same Linda that called you when she was on a trip to Alaska?
No. That's actually Jane from Philadelphia. This is Linda in Richmond Park.
Oh, I've heard Linda on there before, haven't I?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was thinking about the, because you got a very distinctive, very very sweet voice, and I was wondering about her because I hadn't heard her on your show in a while until tonight. So it was good to hear from you, Linda. You ought to call more often.
Absolutely.
Hey, I really had thought about this for a while, but before I brought this up, I totally love the version of the David Ruffin take of Everybody Needs Love. Yeah,
Jimmy was, Ruffin. That's Jimmy, not David.
Did I say David?
Yeah.
Jimmy Ruffin.
Yeah.
That was on one of his albums. That was never a single.
Yes, it was on Soul in 1968.
It was?
Yes.
Was it the flip of something else?
Not that I know.
How in the world did I miss that? No. Well, you know what? Maybe I have it and don't know it. My singles are all packed away.
I'm trying to think of it. There was something on the other side, but because this was a B-side, but I don't think the other side was a hit. It was I'll Say Forever My Love.
Oh, I know that one.
All right. Well,
I know that one.
Never bothered to play that.
Did this Everybody Needs Love even chart?
Oh, of course not. Well, by Gladys Knight it did.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, Gladys was in 67.
Right, exactly. And Jimmy did it the year after it.
Well, it's on some album. I think the album, I can visualize the album. I think it might have been called Riding High or something. But I had to grab the darn thing off YouTube because I don't have it on a CD. I can tell you that.
Well, that's to your credit, because after all, as we've talked before, we really don't want Motown to be on CD, because they gave it all a soulectomy when they re-engineered those.
They did, and I didn't realize that for a long time. But what I wanted to bring up here, I was fortunate enough to get into soul radio in the year 1965, and I don't think this is just me talking, but I wanted to get your take on the fact that I kind of think I was a real fortunate guy to get into soul radio in that year, because I think 1965 was the real hot beginning of what was to be known as soul radio.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned 65, and you were in Houston. And 1965, they had the NARA convention in Houston, the National Association.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Right, and the Royalettes played.
Oh, that I forgot.
Oh, yeah. And, National Association of Radio Announcers, and it was for basically African-American DJs. And
I remember when it all started. My friend Novella Smith, who lives in Memphis, she was a DJ from way, way back. And Novella Smith was part of the creation, for what I remember, of that organization.
And Del Shields was another guy who was real big in it. And
did you ever go to those conventions?
Yes. I went to, they had one in Miami. I think it might have been NATRA by then because it was television and radio announcers by then. But yes, I didn't go to NARA in 65, though, in Houston. And I really was upset because I knew the Royalettes were there.
And that was the first one, right?
You know, I think it was the second one, but I don't know.
Well, 1965 was just a heck of a year for music. And by the way, Gary just informed me that, that he brought a picture in of that David Bruffin album with Everybody Needs Love. It was called...
now, that you say David Ruffin, Ruffin, you say David Ruffin again. So do you mean Jimmy?
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I thought, I don't know, maybe... Oh, so it, it was on Rough and Ready? That came out in 69. Okay, yeah,
okay,
I just looked for that.
That's what it was on.
Yeah.
I think it might be a CD out on it. I don't know.
But
maybe I have the darn thing and don't even know it.
Yeah, here, yeah, I got it. But here it is from 69, and it's got that, and it's got the A side, too, I'll Say Forever My Love. And it's got 96 Tears, Oh God Help Us.
Oh, and, no!
Oh, yes.
No, but you know what? Maybe, did you say it was the flip side of I'll Say Forever My
Love?
Yeah,
it is. It's the B side of I'll Say Forever My Love.
Well, okay, that explains it then, because probably what happened at that time, I got the promo copy, and it had
on both sides.
I'll Say Forever My Love on both sides.
Yeah, yeah, that was
the companies did that.
Oh, did
that's
they
why
ever?
I wasn't
hated
aware,
that.
That's why I was not aware the...
The B side, right?
The Capitals did "Hello Stranger."
Oh, of course they did on the back of "Cool Jerk."
But see, "Cool Jerk" probably was on both sides of the record at the radio station.
Right, right, absolutely. And poor Barbara Lewis wrote it and didn't get her royalties until I don't know in the last decade.
Really?
Yes, Ollie McLaughlin. I always thought he was better than that, but apparently Ollie did not give her the royalties.
I mean, speaking of, but well, let me ask you this. What was your favorite year of soul music? I mean, I know that's a hard question.
It's too hard a question, but I think 65 is as good as any.
That seemed to be really when it really hit hard. I mean, we had obviously been listening to it for a lot longer than that, but that's when, you know, I mean, When a Man Loves a Woman hit, Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming. I mean, it just everything just seemed to be just coming out of the walls.
Well, yeah, quintessential soul, because, you know, if you go too far earlier than that, you wind up with a lot of stuff that we'd call classic R&B, but you wouldn't really call it soul. And so I would agree with that. And then if you go in the other direction, it changed dramatically. For all sorts of good reasons, but in terms of what we'd call a quintessential soul, that's you know, that's probably as good as any, as far as that goes.
In my hand right here, I pulled you know, when the KYOK surveys had come out and the new ones would come in from the printers, they'd toss the old ones and I'd take them home. So I still got duplicates of those old KYOK radio top 40 surveys and. Here, I'm looking at April 14th of 1966. They had all our pictures on it. I'm afraid I might be
April
the only 14th
one still of 66. Probably Get Ready by the Temptations was still on there. Maybe 6, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. When a Man Loves a Woman would be going up.
That was number one.
Still number one already, yeah, because it was number
one. Oh, well, I get to play trivia with you.
Yeah.
6, 3, 7, 4, 5, 8, 9.
Soulsville, USA.
5, 7, 8, 9 was number 17.
Right, Soulsville, USA.
And let's see what another big one. Barefootin' was number
33. Oh, yeah, Robert Parker.
That had probably just come out. I'm just trying to. Headline News by Edwin Starr was on here.
Yeah.
Oh, here was a great one at number 25. I Dig You, Baby by Lorraine Ellison.
Ellison, yes, yes, yes,
a
yes.
A Fool for You, Gene Chandler.
Okay, yes.
Let's see what. Sharing You by Carl Henderson. Now, that was one heck of a song, and I really liked it a whole lot better than the Mitty Collier version.
Right.
I Surrender, Fontella Bass. Oh, here was a good. This was a top 10. Mamie Galore, It Ain't Necessary.
Oh God, oh God.
And I found one of your favorites here, number 5, Otis Redding. Can you tell me what it was?
Security.
Nope.
No. Okay. So 1965. I'm trying to think about this.
It's fun to do trivia on you. I have never thought about this.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not particularly good at it, but I'm really, as I often say, the only reason I know what I'm doing is because I got the answers in front of me. That helps. But if you're saying it's a favorite of mine, so this is what let me think about it though. Well, of course, you know, we're not talking about Respect. That was 65, but it's not a favorite.
I'll give you a clue. It was also done by somebody else.
Oh, well, hell, there were so many of those. Yeah, I've been loving you too long, and oh, what else? What else? Wonderful World. No, that was later. That was 66.
This was number 5.
Can't Turn You Loose.
And it went number 4. Was Hold On, I'm Coming by Sam and Dave.
Right, right. Yeah, so it won I Can't Turn You Loose, and it won Respect, and it won My Girl.
You so, give up?
Well, yeah, because Pain in My Heart was earlier. So, okay, what?
You want the winning? You don't get a prize for this.
I understand. I don't. Yes, I've been loving you too long. And what?
It was Satisfaction.
I'll be damned. I don't. Yeah, I thought that was 66. That's so funny.
Well, it was. It was April 14th.
I thought you were saying 65. I'm sorry.
So, okay.
All right. That was right before the Fafa song.
She Blew a Good Thing by the Poets.
Yes.
Number 2.
Yes, a great song.
Message to Michael by Dionne Warwick.
Yeah, let's
was number
it.
3.
Yeah,
I don't know. They were tight with Scepter, apparently.
Yeah, right, right.
Oh, here was a real favorite, though, from 66 by a real favorite of mine, the Valentinos, What About Me?
Oh, yeah.
And they had Joe Tex in here with the Love You Save.
Right. Right.
Oh, and here was the head guy who I talked to on the phone once, but I never met him, of Sue Records by the name of Juggy.
Oh, Juggy Gales, yeah.
With Soul at Sunrise.
No, Juggy Murray,
instrumental.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Juggy Murray. I was thinking of Juggy Gales.
Yeah,
yeah,
I talked to him on the phone once upon a time.
Yeah.
Jackie Wilson had a hit song on here called Soul Galore.
Uh-huh.
Oh! And here must have been the debut of It's a Man's World by James Brown.
Yes. Yes, because that was number one the following, like, month, I think. You know, it was definitely number one within a couple months of that survey.
The sole pick hit of the week was Love Takes a Long Time Growing, his Deion Jackson follow-up to Love Makes the World Go Round.
Yeah.
So that was the 65, 66, and all that. Those were really hot years for
they
soul.
They were.
And I'll tell you what I really noticed at the time, and it was nothing due to me, but a lot of top 40 listeners that were hot on the big top 40 radio stations, because I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And we're flipping over listening to soul radio all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And I know why, too, because, you know, remember, people who like top 40 radio of the pre-Beatles, you know, what the things they thought were all pablum and all that, what we loved. Here come the Beatles, and then here comes all this British invasion behind it. And it's the timbre of it started to change. And so a lot of people, I was one of them who, you know, I always spent time with R&B, but... But I'll tell you what, I spent a lot more of it after Top 40 started going in a different direction.
I'll tell you what, working at Soul Radio in that year was just magical.
Oh, absolutely.
And being a white kid, it was pretty novel being there. I started because, yeah, I didn't really care anything about election returns and news, but I finally got my way into the station by doing local election returns one night under a different name because my dad was on the city council. And so after that, I went to the program director and I said, you know, I only did that to try to get in here.
Right.
And I gave him a tape of me being a jock, and they hired me to do weekends, and that's where it all began. And I got a chance in the summer of 60. Well, I started Thanksgiving Day of 1965.
Mm-hmm.
at KYOK, and I got to meet not a lot of great artists, but Edwin Starr I met, the Four Tops. Spent a lot of time with Bobby Bland.
Okay.
He was quite a great guy. And rode to the Astrodome with Jerry Butler.
Nice.
I've told you this before, but I met Archie Bell 2 years before his hit song when he was parking cars in downtown Houston.
Oh, absolutely. So I looked it up, and the Houston Narrow was the 10th annual. Of that convention,
there was a spot break. We got cut off.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we're not on the air now.
We're not. You sure? All right. Well, I'll find out. Hang on. Don't go away. I'll just say this is WGN Radio. James, believe it or not, that's Bobby Freeman. Yeah, 1958 on Josie, Need Your Love. There's a flip side of Shame on You, Ms. Johnson. All right, we'll be back with Johnny in a moment, and there's room for you too as we continue. But first, we'll stop dead in our tracks to find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
Let me tell you about a place in a city. I happened to be. I met a fine girl so pretty. I saw she was looking at me. I ain't too hip about the folks in the city, though I thought I'll get her name. Cause it was it would be a pity to miss out on this thing. Introduced to me was Delilah. Right away she reached for my hand. And as we touched, a thrill went through me that made me feel as though I was king of the land. Ooh, Delilah, I'm just a plain old country boy. Ain't had much fun in life, seldom with joy. Ooh, Delilah, if you would only come with me, so happy I will be. I ain't got a much of money, just a farm on the outskirts of town. Please don't think that this is funny, but would you all like to settle down?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Delilah. Okay, the first okay record Major Lance had. Curtis Mayfield wrote it, and Carl Davis produced it. And for a long time, I thought that was the first record that Major Lance ever released, but actually a couple of years earlier, he released one thing on Mercury that wasn't terribly memorable. But Delilah's the one that started the string of hits. And we're talking with Johnny Goin in Austin, and I don't even remember what about.
we dropped our call or something.
Yeah, well,
but I was just talking about soul music in the mid '60s,
yes,
specifically '65 and '66. I was in high school when I started at KYOK, and it was amazing because soul radio just automatically, a lot of these kids, for whatever reason,
I'm telling you, it's started top 40 changed.
There's two soul radio stations in Houston and kind of dumped out a top 40 for a while.
Absolutely.
And soul radio was hot.
Yes, 100%. No, I really think it was the music more than anything else.
You know, you had a caller earlier by the name of Bob who requested the Temptations, and you played The Girl's All Right With Me, which was great.
Yeah.
And also the flip side, I'll Be in Trouble, I remember too.
That was the A-side.
And he also requested anything by The Miracles. I don't know if he got to The Miracles yet or not.
No, I didn't. I played Everybody Needs Love, which was the other thing he requested. But what would you like to hear by The Miracles?
Well, the last time I asked for Happy Landing, which was great, but I don't want to do it again. Do you, I Got a Dance to Keep from Crying, Way Over There. I don't know, That's What Love Is Made Of. You pick it. I don't care.
All right. I can absolutely pick a Miracles record. That's easy.
Speaking of the Temptations, by the way, they had an album in '65 called "Temptin' Temptations."
Yes, well, that's what that's what Everybody Needs Love was on.
That was a great album, and they had two cuts on there that were not singles. One was called, and you might want to play it sometime. It should have been a single, but it was called "I Gotta Know Now."
Uh huh.
Really upbeat, just fantastic. And the second one was called "Born to Love You." Both of those songs were just great album tracks.
All right. Yeah, neither are on this computer, unfortunately. But I.
Yeah, that's all right. You'll. Oh, speaking of obscure R&B songs, do you happen to recall one from, I think it was 72, 73, by Freddie Waters called "This Is the Life"?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost kind of was an Al Green sound alike a little bit.
Okay. All right.
That was a good one. And another kind of obscure R&B song, at least down in Texas, was one by Lee Rogers called "I Want You to Have Everything."
Yeah. Now, that Freddie Waters, you know, that was on Refo-ree. Now, did you?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means if it was on Refo-ree.
No, I don't.
Oh, that was Ted Jarrett owned that label. And Ted Jarrett, see, there were really two Nashvilles, the one that everybody knew on Music Row, and then Ted Jarrett, which was, deep in the hood, so to speak, and Bob Holmes worked with them, and they came up with some great things, and Ted wrote "This Is the Life," but anytime you see Refo-ree, it's one of his labels.
Did you like that record?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And I got it on here. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that he did that I thought was just great, and of course never did anything, but I thought Freddie Waters and the Free Spirits, I think it was. This is a life. But yeah,
it didn't do much.
No,
almost we didn't have a.
Right, none of his stuff really did. Rufus Hunter, Caught Up, I play that a lot. That's another Ted Jarrett special. And, there are so many. And unfortunately, you know, he was a real big deal to, like, the seven of us who knew who he was. And he had a bunch of little labels, but for a while he also did things with Ernie Young, you know, Excello and those labels.
I don't think I ever told you this story, but I was at KYOK, as you know, twice back in the mid-60s, and then I returned in 71, 2, 3, and 4. And we had a music director named Boogaloo George Frazier in my second time around. And he was a jock, but he was also a music director. And Boogaloo was quite a character. And he came in one day with this record, and he kind of said, hey, why don't you do something? I was in the midday hours of the show, noon, lunchtime. And he said, put this record on. And I'm like, okay. And he'd do that every once in a while. So I said, all right. And I said, so I queued it up, got a little intro time on it. I said, and got a brand new song in here, and Boogaloo wanted me to see what you thought about it. Here's Billy Paul with his song called "Me and Mrs. Jones."
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, as that song began to start playing,
yeah,
the phone started lighting up, and what we had a we were inside a building, but we had glass around the control room, and all of a sudden, employees from within the station just sort of surrounded me, looking in there, and then the receptionist came in and said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "The phones won't stop ringing. Everybody wants to know what that song is." And, I mean, everybody just went wild over that song. And I was the first jock in Houston to play it.
Yeah, early on, you betcha. And
I don't know what inspired Boogaloo to... And I never got a gold record for it, believe me.
Well, it was interesting because at the time he was also, I think, doing the music for KOKY in Arkansas. So it was
probably
KY.
Was.
Yeah, but those
could have
two.
Been, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So,
but every time I hear that, me and Mrs. Jones, that one magical day will be with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great.
Just
absolutely great. Well, I will find some miracles for you, I promise.
Do that. Have a good night.
You
and
too.
A great day tomorrow, and we'll talk soon.
I hope so. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All
bye.
Right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And what do we have here? I believe that James in Oregon's been waiting for half of his natural life. So James, welcome back to WGN Radio. Well, he's waiting so long, he hung up. Who could blame him? All right, James, we'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow night. Let's try again. All right, so Lori had some requests. Oh, my God. All right, Lori, what do you want to hear? Well, we lost Lori, too. All right, usually it's Pat Boone, though, and that just doesn't work. So I guess Jim in New Hampshire, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, how you doing there, Raleigh?
Oh, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. I want to definitely say a prayer for the folks over in Southwest Florida.
Yes, it's going to be a long night.
I know how that feels, believe me. Having lived in New Orleans, so, oh man.
Yep.
And, I was, something I wanted to mention. Lately, I have been using on the midday whenever I'm, you know, tuning around the internet looking for stuff to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a station in San Francisco that I like to call, they call themselves Cable, KABL, at 960.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, I like giving them a listen, and I hear things over there that, frankly, I hadn't heard since I had, they play lots of really cool MOR stuff that I hadn't heard before.
Well, sure, and you know, the history of cable there is the history of good music, no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I understand. Yes, and I had, you know, like I said, I just stumbled on them one day.
Yeah.
A lot of pop
standards on that. I know. I've caught some things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah. You know, whether it's Wes Montgomery or Tony Bennett or you know all that. Yeah. Absolutely. Aware of it. Yes.
Uh huh. Uh huh. And something else that I was going to mention also, I heard you talking about, guy I loved listening to when I was a kid. Before I came to New Orleans, I was in Chicago, and I definitely remember the Mad Lad himself.
Oh, of course.
E. Rodney Jones.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I mean, and a real businessman, too.
Yeah.
You know, no, absolutely. And, of
course,
he was a Louisiana guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know,
you mentioned him at XOK.
Right. He was born and died in Louisiana. He died in Baton Rouge. Actually, I think he was born in Texarkana, but that's as close to Louisiana as you're going to get. Died in Baton Rouge, and that would have been maybe 2004.
And, yeah, Yeah, because I remember that, coming across, someone mentioned it and everything. I said, oh, wow.
Yeah, but no, he was a big deal. And, of course, WVON for 20 years. And then, so much more. He was on the air in St. Louis for quite a while and Kansas City. And in fact, probably St. Louis was where a lot of people thought he was from there because he was on the air there. But no, he was a Louisiana boy, basically. And
I remember he was on Wild. He was actually the program director, a music director for WYLD, and right. He had a midday show, which I definitely enjoyed, it was really cool.
Yeah,
because I hadn't heard that song in, I don't know how long. I thought, oh man, this is awesome, man. Yeah, this is so cool.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is. I didn't know he was on Wild. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wasn't he the program director for like a minute and a half?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Yeah. But that was, yeah, right. But that was.
He could come on there and bring all his blues records with him. And I thought, oh man, this is cool,
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember he was part of that NARA, which became NATRA, the National Association of Radio Announcers. Those conventions were so good. But he was the man. And like I say, he was a businessman, and he was in with the record labels, and that's how he wound up, like Abner put him on Tough and all that. So, So, and for a while in the 80s, he was doing some kind of syndication, Blues Alley.
And that was on KAAY
yes.
at Nitro. Wow.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, indeed.
So.
And that just knocked me out because I thought, oh, wow, you're on KAAY. Yeah. What do you know, man?
Yeah, nice signal. You betcha.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And another thing I want to mention is after you go away for the night there, I go and listen to a lot of OTR stuff.
Okay.
It's on, I don't know if you ever heard of this, called Antioch Broadcasting Network, and they do old-time radio 24/7, and they one of my favorites I go listen to after you go away is Suspense.
Oh, yeah, Well, keep the light, well, of course, wouldn't help for you, but for me, keep the lights on. So, yes, absolutely. So, they have things like Inner Sanctum and all that, Suspense. Yeah. So, I know they run a couple of Suspenses back to back, and then if I'm not mistaken, it's some kind of classical thing like the Czech National Symphony Orchestra or something. I mean, it's just something that's out there.
Never heard that.
Yeah, no, keep listening. It's something that's utterly jarring. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
After Suspense, it's like, what the hell is that? Yeah.
Now, I have I'll have to see because usually I'm waiting on the Whistler because they have that afterwards.
They play the Whistler like it in the daytime too, a replay of the Whistler.
Right.
Yes. Don't tell you they got this National Symphony thing. You got to hear it.
I'll look for it. Oh gosh.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, it's like fantasy in C major. It's like no, this is a nightmare. This is not a fantasy. So
exactly. I would be very frightened.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Right. More so than Suspense. Yeah. Well, that's it. Next time, you'll give me a review of what you thought of it. All right. Yeah, I've heard of filler, but, you know, I'd rather they just filled with Shandu the Magician or something. They don't know.
Yeah, which I think I actually heard out there one time.
Which just fine, you know, anything other than this just classical stuff.
Now, an interesting thing about them.
Hang on a minute, John. Remember, don't go away. Okay, John says I have to shut up right now, so I will on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We only got a couple minutes left, so we'll forego the bumper. We're talking with Jim in New Hampshire, who is about to change the subject. So, all right, Jim, and what are we talking about now?
I was going to mention a episode of I ran across on it was on YouTube or something. It was, have you ever heard of a thing that ABC put out called Tomorrow? It was a
You're talking about the album Tomorrow?
I'm not sure if it was an album or not.
Well, no, I mean, there's one Tomorrow Radio, if you were talking about that, and I absolutely know about that. That was a TM production thing, Tomorrow Radio.
It
was a 1977 drama. But,
I ran across that, but the one I ran across came out in 56.
Okay.
It was on ABC Radio.
Interesting.
Orson Welles was the narrator.
Right, right. Wasn't this like some civil defense radio thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I do know about this, absolutely. And it was supposedly two cities under atomic attack or something. It was Marshall Thompson. Marshall Thompson,
yes.
And Orson Welles. Yeah. I remember as a freebie, as a promo, they had this stupid white hat with a CD defense symbol on it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It was supposed to be a helmet.
The first place I actually heard it was on Beaker Theater back with KAAY.
Sure.
Had Beacon Theater late at night.
Yes.
And they ran that one night and scared the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I do remember this. And, Orson Welles was a real big deal in that.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a book tie-in, believe it or not. That,
I didn't.
Yeah, Tomorrow. I think Philip Wiley wrote it.
Yeah, Philip Wiley was the guy that wrote.
Right, right. Well, he wrote the book too, so it was a tie-in to this. I do.
Yeah.
It's funny the things you betcha. So.
I ran across it on, like I said, actually I Googled it just to see if it was there.
Uh-huh.
And it was, and I played the whole thing one morning.
Well, then you know it. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have successfully ended the show.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Take
appreciate
care,
it. Thanks
we'll
for
talk
calling.
To you later.
I hope so. All right. So, apologies to Sherry, but you see, 21 hours from now we do it all again. So there's plenty of room for you. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, and you know the deal. I'm normally quite lazy, and when you call, I work less, and I really love that. Plus, I enjoy talking to you, too. So we'll reconvene until tomorrow, 21. Well, it's really today now, 20 hours from now. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.